Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Bryson here. It's been a long ass time. Too long. I'm here with my boy LB. What's going on, LB? I missed you, brother.
I missed you too, buddy. The last time we talked, I believe, was right. Well, we've talked, but an actual form like this was before the Super Bowl. We called it. We pretty much nailed how the game would go because that's kind of how we do. We're really, really, really smart. That's just we're smarter than everybody else. That's kind of what we do, man. We love it.
Absolutely. Never been wrong a day in our lives. Can't say the same about everyone else, though.
I'm laughing because I have the subtitles on, so I can actually see what you're saying.
Are you
I don't know.
serious?
But yeah, it's pretty cool.
That sounds like a challenge. I'm going to say some stupid shit so the subtitles get all fucked up.
Actually censored you.
That's awesome.
It even censored up. It says effed up. It censored shit, dude.
That's
Doesn't
sweet.
let us
That's
say
sweet.
shit.
All right, LB. Sad news as our boy Gronk retires. Very sad day, especially for our boy Gronky, our buddy Gronky on Twitter. But Gronk retires. It's wild to me because you're a little bit older than me, not too much older, but the players that I've grown up watching are starting to retire, and I don't know what to do about it. I might start having a midlife crisis. I don't really know what to do. Gronk's going to be extremely missed. I remember when he broke out the 17 touchdown season, him and Hernandez, back when Hernandez wore 85. Man, it was just good times overall. Sad stuff. Glad he got to go out on top. But man, it just stinks, man. Not having Gronk is going to stink. He's so fun.
Well, I love the fact that you mentioned 85 because the reason he was actually going to wear 85, but Ocho Cinco came along. He usually players sell the number, and Hernandez actually just gave it to him. And I remember reading the paper, and Hernandez said, he's a great player. I don't need anything for it. I'll just give him the number." And everything at that time was great with Hernandez. And he just gave it to him. He gave it to Ocho, and he went to 81, which is actually the number that he wore in college at Florida. So I was all about the number 81 because, I started Googling pictures of Hernandez, and I saw that he wore 81 at Florida. And it was a really cool thing that he gave it to Ocho. He didn't even ask for money. He just gave it to him. And the way everything worked out, obviously, was sad for Gronk Nandez, the Boston TE party. We all loved Hernandez. Things went shitty. It's the whole story's sad, but Gronk retiring is honestly was like equally as sad. Not, because if Hernandez had just died and there wasn't all the other stuff, it would be way more sad. But we all know the story. Hernandez was doing some bad stuff, but Gronk retiring, like you said, I'm a little bit older than you. I remember a lot of players retiring. Ty Law retired, and he's a Hall of Famer now. Other guys have retired. Kevin Falk retired, and he's a Patriots Hall of Famer. Teddy Bruschi. A lot of guys have moved on and retired, but for me personally, and this is something we haven't even discussed beforehand, Gronkowski retiring has been the biggest bummer of all of them. Of all the guys that have moved on and entered the next phase of their life, this is the biggest one, is Gronk. He's only 29 years old. He's just the Gronk, man. He's the Gronk. He changed the game, and there will never be another Rob Gronkowski, man. He was a special player.
Now that you mentioned Hernandez, my favorite part, I can vividly remember when I first started college, and I used to actually watch First Take every day like a nerd. Like before class, I would watch First Take. Now I would ne you'd never catch me dead watching that shit now unless I was like, I don't know. I watch the clips on Twitter every once in a while, but I used to watch that shit. And I remember one time they were talking about Gronk partying because it was a big deal after the Super Bowl loss, and they were like, man, you know what? Gronk parties too much. I don't remember if it was Stephen A or Skip, but he was like, man, he just parties too much. You never hear anything out of Hernandez. He needs to be a lot more like Hernandez.
Oh,
Those
man.
are actually real life takes. I wish I could know the date and pull the clips up and all that stuff. Just the funniest thing of all time. That was the real takes all over the place. Like, Hernandez was madly loved, especially after the Super Bowl when Gronk was dancing after the loss and stuff like that. And I mean, I loved Hernandez, good grief, but
Look,
it was funny.
The thing about Hernandez had that look to him. He was a little bit smaller, you know, for his position. He wasn't a small guy at all, you know, 6'2", listed at 245, but I don't believe he was 245. I think he was probably more like 6'2", 225, or 230, 235, around that range. He was covered in tattoos. He had that right look to him where he just looked kind of badass, you know. And sometimes in life you just see people that just look badass, you know what I mean? Hernandez had that look to him. Gronk was badass in more of like the he's having fun and he's kicking your ass kind of way. Hernandez was more badass in the way like he's cooking you, he's juking you out, he's making you look silly, and he looks like he'll beat you the fuck up kind of way. You know what I mean?
Like he did a graveyard shovel dance, like a celebration dance after a touchdown.
If we're being honest, we haven't had a lot of Patriots come along the line. And let's just purely ignore off the field for a minute. Let's just – off the field never happened. How many guys came along like Aaron Hernandez on the field where they're cooking you and they just had a certain swagger about them where they're just letting you know, I just beat you. And I'm going to let you know it right now. I remember specifically he scored a touchdown against the Texans. I can't quite recall if it was the regular season game that year.
The homecoming game.
Yeah, with JJ, they wore the homecoming jackets, of course. Watt and the defense, and you remember the Texans were having a great year.
Yep, that was a big game, man. Like I said, I was watching First Take. That was a huge game back then. And then, yeah, the Patriots killed them. Hernandez had like a big celebration.
Yes, and was it that game or was it the playoff game? You might remember better than me right now.
I don't know, but I remember I had my lock screen was actually Hernandez celebrating in that Texans game. So it might have been that game.
Here's what I'm remembering right now in my head, and maybe this might – he caught the pass, and he, like, very – like, maybe from the 5-yard line on or 4-yard line on, he started kind of like – doing like a high step, exactly. He started doing a high step, and the guy actually is like not even that far from him, like by Patriot standards to do that step. Wait.
You're talking about when the Patriots were running that the hurry up offense, and Hernandez's guy like was they went so fast that the defense wasn't covering him, and he just threw it to Hernandez, and he was just kind of like high stepping his way into the end zone on the left.
Yeah, and the guy wasn't terribly – like, when he actually gets in the end zone, the guy was actually kind of close to him. You could tell the guy was pissed off. Like, you motherfucker, you just die. It's kind of – you know what I mean? Like, we'll fight it after the game, and we'll be like – you know what I'm saying? We'll fight it after we finish this, and I feel like you probably know the play I mean, but Hernandez was just – he was cool, man. He was just so cool. I used to just always sit there and watch my dad, and I'd be like, this guy's a playmaker. He was just – he just made plays, you know. It's so sad the way things worked out. He was a fucked up individual. He had some issues. We've heard the stories now. Between, you know, Brandon Lloyd came out and had some quotes. He was a disturbed individual, but on the field, Hernandez was so special. And in your personal opinion, let's pretend that Gronk had his injuries and nothing changed with him, and Hernandez was on the field. How much of a factor does that play into all this? The Gronk-Nandez factor.
Man, that was the Gronk-Nandez stuff. He only played 3 seasons. That's hard to believe. He only played 3 seasons. I don't know how many games they played together. But, man, that was one of the most fun I've had watching Patriots games is when they had both of them together.
I mean, honestly, in ways, like, yes, they won the Super Bowl this year, but really, things didn't get, like, terribly fun this season until the playoffs. That was one of those years where it was just so fun the whole year. 2007 was obviously very similar. You know, it was fun the whole year and then ended in absolute heartbreak. 2010 was a ton of fun, ended in heartbreak. Me and you, you and I should say, actually touched on it a little bit earlier. We were talking about the 2010 Patriots and how Belichick had won Coach of the Year, and we'll get back to that later, but the way things went for the 2011 Patriots, had Gronk not been injured and Hernandez was so great. Gronk was so great that year. We saw the best tight end duo in the NFL. Look, one thing about Patriots fans, we've had our scandals to endure, but we've also enjoyed things that no other fan base will ever enjoy. And that includes Gronk-Nandez 2011, man. That was a fun, fun ride, even though they lost the Super Bowl.
Oh, boy, was it, man. So many fun, like, there's just so many good memories from that. You know what, LB? In honor of Gronk, let's just tell, since Gronk's the biggest gym bro ever, let's tell a gym bro story. I'll just start off. And I already told you the other story, but here's a different one. So I think it was 3 summers ago. So as you know, I hurt my chest benching like an idiot. So about a year later, I decided that I was going to bulk up and I didn't care how much I weighed and I was going to eat whatever I wanted and I didn't care. I was probably 215, 220 pounds, which is about 35 pounds heavier than I am right now. And
big boy.
Yeah, I was, it was not good. It was not good. I was big and strong, but that was about it. But okay. me and a buddy of mine had gotten this pre-workout, and I never was a big pre-workout guy, but this particular summer I was. So of course, you know how pre-workout works. You know, you start off with one scoop, and then next week you're like, I need 2 scoops. And then the next week it's like 2.5. And then, well, okay. The story is I ended up with 3 scoops along with a coffee. And I may or not have mixed them all together with coffee grounds and stuff. If that tells you how big of a fucking freak I am, I'm drinking a coffee with coffee grounds in it and 3 scoops of pre-workout, and I have no idea how I'm alive today.
Well, to be honest, I mean, it's all the same shit. Like, what were the ingredients in this pre-workout? I've heard things about pre-workout, man. I really have.
It was called Meth Lab, okay?
Meth lab.
Yep. So, you know, just a whole lot of meth. Just a whole lot of meth.
Bryson, man. Either that was the greatest. That might have been the greatest. I mean, either you took the greatest single pre-workout ever made, or you took the worst fucking.
It had to have been the worst, man. Because I take one, I'm like, you know how pre-workout is, like, you take one that first time, like, man, this shit fucks. This is awesome. I feel so great. And then the next day, you're like, man, this sucks. I felt so good. Yes, I'm going to have to take another scoop. Then you take 2 scoops, and you're like, man, no, this ain't doing it either. And then all of a sudden, there you are sitting in your living room, chugging on coffee mixed with meth lab with coffee grounds all in your teeth. And I don't know what my partner thought about me. He's probably like, this guy, I'm not even going to tell him he looks like an asshole right now because he looks like an asshole.
Just wait. They're going to find out that we were talking about meth labs and shit. We're getting canceled tonight. The end of time.
Google it. Meth labs pre-workout.
You know, I've heard stories about pre-workouts that gave people, what's that called? When you see things, what's that called? Hallucinations. Yes. I've heard stories, man, from guys that are really into working out and like jacked guys. Like, and they're like, I took this pre-workout tonight. I'm seeing shit. It's like, well, it was probably from meth lab.
Yeah.
I got news for you.
And the fun, have you ever had like a stackable pre-workout, that like a pre-workout with a like maybe a vasodilator? Like, have you ever like stacked a pre-workout with something else?
Well, I always stack my supplements. I always kind of have. I take my pre-workout. I'd take, you know, creatine with it, or I'd take my protein doesn't really count to me as a supplement because it's kind of something that everybody should take. If you don't take it, then you're an absolute moron. I actually work with people who would tell you that they're all natural. They don't take protein, which is just
good grief.
Have you ever known somebody like that? There are people out there.
I've heard about this, but like, I hope they know that protein, or like, it comes from the byproduct of cheese. So if you eat cheese, you're also eating whey, which I don't know, man.
If you're eating chicken, what's a better protein source than chicken? And everybody eats chicken.
If you want to know capitalism at its finest, just know that back in the day when they didn't know whey protein was whey protein, they used to take the shit and throw it away because there's so much waste. It's the waste product of cheese. And they would just take it and throw it away. They're like, what the hell do we do? This shit is, no one wants to eat this shit. And all of a sudden, some freak realized that it's like the best protein supplement you could ever have. And now they've gone from throwing it away in dumpsters for people paying $70 for tubs of it. So
that's
freaks we are.
I just learned something.
If you could tell a guy, hey man, you know, you can take this pill. It's $10 a pill. It's gonna make you stronger and it's gonna make you big as fuck. It's got cat piss in it, but that's no big deal. He'd be like, ah, well, the stuff you gotta do to look good. I guess I'm gonna take it. Give me five.
Let's be honest. Look, for I'd say 90% of men, if there is some women too. Women are worse than us. Okay, let's. I caught a glimpse of that show the other day, Naked and Afraid. And let me tell you something. Women wake up and look like shit. And they go through the day and look like shit. The men, they just grow their beard out. They haven't shaved in a couple weeks. Their beard gets fucking diesel. They have like, and they start getting like more cut because they're losing weight. And they look like good as shit. The women look terrible. It's funny as shit. Women wake up and they put a face on every day. For us men, if for us, and the reason I say that is because I was going to say for us men, you know, like if looking better is more attainable, we're all about it. And I'd say, you know, that probably goes more so for women, but strictly for men real quick. I mean, if we believe that there's a way to look better and look more cut or, you know, I mean, we care a lot about that. So, yeah, of course. I mean, we'd probably be digging through the trash for that shit. We'd be like, you know, there used to be that meme out there looking for digging through the garbage for excuses for the Patriots haters. That would probably be most men, honestly. We absolutely care. We want to look good, you know. It's funny because we had said about a story, and I'll tell you this much. I used to go to the gym a lot, and there was this kid, man. He was like a wrestler, and I was a football player, so for me personally, I was almost like kind of impressed by the wrestlers because people that are willing to fight like that, like, they're bad as fuck to me. Like, football is hardcore, but like the fighters to me personally was kind of like something that I always wanted to try, but I couldn't quite try. I didn't really quite want to. And there was this kid who was like, he had like these really big ass arms, and I fucking hated his guts, man. And I always considered him my gym enemy. And I know that you personally, you to this day, if I'm not mistaken, you still have a gym enemy. How are things going with that guy? Like, have you like gotten way bigger than him yet to the point where like he's gonna cry when he goes home?
Well, I'm not gonna lie. I call it a gym rival, so it means we're roughly the same size or same, like I'm gonna compare myself to him. Like, but it's so funny because like, They're always nice to me. And in my head, like, I'll look at him like walking on the treadmill, like, that stupid motherfucker. This dude's walking on the treadmill trying to get cut. He can't be like me. I'm cut as fuck. This dude sucks. And he's like, hey, what's up, Bryson? How are you doing? No problem. How are you? You know, have a good day, blah blah blah. It's just the funniest thing of all time. Yeah, I have a gym rival. You have to have one. It's one of those weird things where it's like, it's just the gym is a different, like, it's just a different place. Like, you walk in and you're weird as fuck. Like, you make weird sounds and like, you're just like, it's like a primal area. Like, you, I don't know. It's like, you look at everything in the gym as an enemy. Like, you don't see one guy in the gym. You're like, yeah, that's my bro. You're like, no, fuck that guy. Why is he curling with 35s? Huh? You think you're better than me?
To his face, you're saying, that's my bro. And then when you're with your bros, you're like, I fucking hate that guy.
That guy's lame. That guy's weak.
I'm going to be honest. I think you just nailed it when you just said primal. I started thinking it over my head. That's so true, man. Just put a fucking female in the gym in the middle of all the madness of all the guys with their testosterone flowing and their veins popping out. And all of a sudden, put like a sexy-ass female in her yoga pants and she's doing these. And you're like, all of a sudden, you're just looking at each other like, fuck you, man. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's the wildest thing. You could walk right outside of that gym. You'd be like, hey, bro, what's going on? You're like, you're all good. But in your mind, in that gym, something about those metal bars and plates, you're just like, nah, this guy, I'll stab this guy in the neck if I have to right here, right now.
It's You know, the gym's an awesome place. I think it's, I miss, I'm not as, I wish I was still as into the gym. I used to have so much fun going to the gym, man. It's a great place. You know, I can see why people shy away from it as well. You know, this just,
well, yeah, because that's the reason we just talked about, like, you have other people in the gym wanting to literally stab you and you have no,
yeah, you have no clue. You know, one day, you know, you're walking in, you're saying, "What's up, Bryson, man? How you doing, buddy?" And you're thinking, "This fucking guy knows my name? Why does he know my name? Who has he been talking to that he knows my name? How does he know my name? I've never talked to him in my life, and he knows my name." But then, like, literally, you're like, "Hey, what's up, buddy? How you doing, man? Hey, I'm just working out. What are you doing today?" "I'm doing chest." And you're like, "Yeah, okay, buddy. I'll bend you any day of the week."
LB, I got a great story, actually, that I just remembered. this actually just happened recently. It's real quick. I'm in the gym, and actually, funny thing is, someone that I haven't seen in a while, I thought he was in the gym. It looked like exactly like one of my friends, and so I walked up to him. He's wearing like this cutoff. You ever see like they make it like stringy in the back? I don't know. I don't wear those, but like it was like one of those stringy cutoffs. So I walk up to him and I pinch him hard as hell on the lats, and so he turns around and it's not my buddy. It's some random dude. I have no idea who he is. He's shorter than me and little, but like, I thought it was funny. Like, I didn't care. Like, I mean, I just pinched this dude. He gave me the worst look of all time. Like, "Dude, sorry, bro. I thought you were someone else." And he was so mad. He didn't say anything. He just walked right off. It was so hilarious, though.
Oh, you know what, man? Fuck him. That's what he gets for going to the gym wearing a string. Is that the shit that LaRon Landry used to wear to the gym?
Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah, you have to be, like, a certain amount of juice head to wear that to the gym. Let's be honest. How jacked is this guy, like, on a level of, like, 1 to 10?
Oh, not really, actually. He was a high schooler, actually. I don't know how old he was, but...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
He was just kind of a shorter guy, but, I mean, I was a little bit taller than him, so... I think
at you pinching little boys, huh?
Man, I don't know. He looked like my friend, who's, like, you know, 20, 21. So I walked up to him, just pinched his lats really hard, and, you know, thought it was funny, and, you know, you got to ask him who they are first. Got asked for consent to pinch those lats.
That's like never, and this is a piece of life advice for anybody listening, any man, any woman even, because this is something I learned from my mom. Never ask a woman how far along she is, or ask her, you know, about her pregnancy, because you can be wrong about that. I've seen it firsthand. Not all women are pregnant. They just look pregnant. They're just fat. Yeah, you don't want to ever ask a woman, like, "Hey, so how's the pregnancy going?" They're actually just fat.
Oh, man, that's another plus for the guys. People just know us. People just see us and like, "Well, yeah, that dude's been drinking a lot of beer. He's fat." Girls with girls are like, "Oh, so you're pregnant?" And it's like, yeah, it's just like when you're a guy, you know you're fat. When you're a girl, you're like, "I don't know."
Yeah. That's a great point. I never thought of that. I never thought of the way you just said it. When you say, "Girl might not even know," that's actually a great point. But like, she might look at you like, "Oh, wait." You know, usually they know, and they're just looking at you like, "No, I'm not pregnant." That's a great point where, like, you look at her and you're like, "Oh, so how far along are you?" And they're like, "Oh," and they have to go buy, like, a piss test. It's a little bit different.
Yeah, like you could walk up to a guy, you know, and just be like, "Man, you've been gaining weight," and he could be like, "Yeah, man, I'm fat as fuck right now. I've been drinking 10 beers a night, eating pizza, I'm sloppy as shit." But the girl, you better not do it.
Just don't even. I've made the mistake. I've seen my mom make that mistake, and it's always, always uncomfortable. It's never gonna be comfortable ever. Even if recently I saw a girl that I hadn't seen in a long time, and I was like, "Oh my God, so you're pregnant. You know, I haven't seen you so long, and I see you again, and you're pregnant." And she looked at me like I was such a douchebag, and she was like, "Yeah, you know," and, you know, like I tried playing it off. I started saying to her, you know, "Well, yeah, you know, I wish I could meet somebody that I was, you know, comfortable with about that." And she just looked at me like I was such a douchebag. It was like, wow, this is like a no-win situation. She can be like in month 10 out of 9 where that shit is like literally just the head's popping out. And she'll still be like, "Wow, you're a piece of shit. How dare you mention my big ass belly that is literally unavoidable to notice.
Oh man, good times, bro. Good times.
Welcome to Title Talk, where we talk about pregnancies and fat men.
This is what the people want to hear, man. If people follow us, they know that we go to the gym and we are very, very bro-y. They know this. They know this.
I look, you're more bro-y than me. I'm just honored to even be included in it. Okay, I mean,
honestly,
I 10 years ago, dude. I don't even know if we would have liked each other. We probably would have both hated each other. I'm telling you right now.
We would have been rivals. I'd be like, man, that guy thinks he's the shit. Fuck him.
Podcast rivals. Oh, man, I hate that guy. Look at him.
That guy's
doing
sucks.
Chest.
Look at that guy working out over there, trying to improve himself. What an idiot.
Screw what him. A loser. Oh, man.
Oh, man. If you guys could see my mentions on a daily where it's like, I don't know how many times I've got... Oh, Bryson, that's such a frat name. Or like, oh my God, you're such a frat bro. Like on the daily, that's the go-to. That's a go-to for me. If you want to slander me, that's what people say.
I'll be honest, you do give off like a very frat boyish vibe.
Yeah, I do.
And you're not even in a frat, and you know you're not even trying for that. You're just, you know, you're into working out. You're into, I don't know, man. I've showed you my pics that are about 6 years old, and it's like, I seem like the old man now, but I'm telling you, I shared my pic. Remember, one time in one of our chats, I shared a pic of me where I took the exact same fucking picture from the side of me standing there with my tie. I'm gonna share it now. You know what? Now I gotta share it again because now I'm thinking about it. It's like people act like you're like this bizarre human being. It's like I never realized that made you a frat boy. I was just at work. Actually, that is kind of weird that I was at work taking those pictures. Actually, I don't know.
It happens, man. It happens. It happens. It could be a little worse because you know what? I'll just share this gym story. I once walked into the gym, and I walk in, and it's not a very big gym. So the owner of the gym has his shirt off, and another guy is in there taking pictures of him, not with a phone, with a camera, like a regular camera, and they're like photo shooting it up in the middle of the lat. There's like a bunch of machines, like a bunch of other stuff, like in the middle of the gym, basically. So I walk in. Yeah, I guess I'm going home. See you later. This is the weirdest thing I've ever seen, and that's not even the craziest thing I've experienced at this gym.
You know, if I'm a little bit, I'll be 31 in August. I think you're 24, right?
Yep.
I'm a little bit older than you, so some of my gym stories, like when I was in like my prime, like meathead. You know, probably 8 to 10 years ago in that range. I forget some of my stories, but some of the creepy, creepy, creepy things that you experience at the gym, like...
Oh, it's crazy.
Dude, it's awful for a man. Women are lucky. They are, man. Like, you walk into the gym, and you do your workout, and you're all done, and you go into the locker room. And there's old men with their balls.
Just... What is it about old men and like, just being naked everywhere? What is this? What is this? What do you all
do? I don't know, man.
I don't know what it is, but why are you all so naked?
Look, I mean, I'm not trying to sound weird or anything, but if I'm going to the gym and I'm going to see naked men, I'd prefer they're at least in their prime. We're talking 70-year-old dudes with their saggy balls just fucking just hanging and just draped on the oh god, like if I walked in and I saw like one of my, I'd be like, oh man, you're weird, bro. Like I just look away. But I feel like when you walk in and there's an old man with his balls just drenched he's washing his nuts in the sink, you're just like, you can't look away. You're like, oh yeah, you can't, like, how are you gonna look at an old man washing his balls in the sink and look away?
There's, you know what? I don't know what it is, LB, but like, there just must be like a certain age you hit and you just all of a sudden care about literally no one. Because I was actually driving the other day on a one way, not a one way, but kind of a one way, where an old man was coming towards me and I was coming towards him. I had nowhere to pull off. And he could have backed up 10 feet. And I could have gone through and we would have been about our way. I had to back up about 15 yards. And we just sat there and looked at each other for like 3 minutes. And I'm waving my arms and I'm like, I'm not giving him the bird or anything, but I'm like, bro, are you kidding me right now? Can you just back up 10 feet? And I shit you not, expressionless, just looking at me with a dead stare in my face. Like, yeah, I'm old. I don't give a fuck. What are you going to do about it? You're going to back up. I got plenty of time. I'm old as shit. This is my entertainment for the day. You probably got somewhere to go. What are you going to do about it? Yeah. And so, yeah, I did back up. And after that, holy shit.
He won.
He won. He kicked my ass. What
he
can
kicked
I say?
Your ass. He did. He owned you. Bryson got owned by an old man. You know, I feel like that's the perks of being old is respect our elders. It's something that we're taught from a young age on is respect your elders. And if you're a smart elder, you just say, hey, he has to respect me. So I'll just like anybody that's ever watched Family Guy, you just treat it like Lois Griffin's dad there. You know, hey, that's how I'd be. I'd be like, you know, he has no choice. He has to respect me. That's how I would treat it, man. You know, it's just a funny thing that he actually, you know, you're young, you're in your prime, you could kick his ass and you can't. It's almost like you can't beat up, you can't win. Bryson, I'm getting ideas right now. When I'm an old fart, just wait, bro. I already have tinnitus in my ear. I'm getting to the point where I might just become old fart LB and I'll I'm gonna start acting like old man LB.
You know what?
I have nothing to lose.
There's a lot of perks that people are gonna open the door for you. You're not gonna say thank you. You're not gonna say anything like that. People are gonna buy your food. You're not gonna say thank you. They're gonna let you go. You're not gonna give them the wave. Is this
you're not gonna get beat the fuck up.
You just don't care. You just flat out don't care.
Yeah, nothing matters. Like, there's nothing more important than this moment right now, and I'm old.
It's like, it's definitely like being Bill Belichick, but you're just old. You're like way older, and he's not cared for even longer. You're just Bill Belichick,
man.
Your entire life. We need to talk about Bill Belichick, LB, because you know what? As if the offseason for the Patriots isn't entertaining enough. So Belichick actually, was it yesterday? Greg Schiano stepped down. Well, actually, earlier in the day, Belichick was supposed to be confirming Schiano's hiring around 5 p.m. And that was a report from 2 hours prior to Greg Schiano stepping down. I don't know what happened. We may speculate a little bit, but this leaves the Patriots in a bit of a bind, because if you go on the Patriots website, the only Patriots defensive coach is Steve Belichick, because Brendan Daly left. Of course, Brian Flores leaves. Brett Bielema's been hanging around. He has apparently been telling people he wants to be the Patriots defensive coordinator. I don't know what's going on with there. I would seriously doubt Steve Belichick is the defensive coordinator. And this man coached Jordan Richards. But to be fair, his dad gave him Jordan Richards. I don't know about Brett Bielema. You kind of think that Belichick might just do it. Like we were talking about in 2010, Belichick might just coach the defense. And that was a good defense. Anyway, it wasn't a really talented defense, but that was that year for defense was pretty good in my opinion. Like, what do you think? I don't know what's going on.
All things considered, the 2010 Patriots, they went 14-2, number one seed. They had moments where they actually looked like the best team in the NFL, and now they look back on as a team that was the biggest frauds of the Belichick era, which I'm not sure if is – I don't know if that's totally fair. Had they won that game, who knows? Maybe they go on to win the Super Bowl. Sometimes it's about winning one big game in the playoffs. That's how I look at it, because it's not a four out of seven series. It's you get one shot and that's it. So you can lose one game and you're gone. So that team gets looked back on poorly, but they were actually a very good football team. They found ways to win games. I mean, anytime that you can go 14-2, you're not a bum-ass team, you know. I mean, if we were fans of any other team, we'd look at a 14-2 team and they go 1-done. We'd clown on them too. So the Patriots had just beaten the Jets 45-3 Monday Night Football about a month or so before. Devin McCourty had an interception. He did the do you remember the Jets? They used to do the thing with their arms that go flying through the end zone.
Yeah, it's the stupidest thing ever.
It's the stupidest thing ever. And I remember being so stoked because Devin McCourty did that. He had an interception on Sanchez. He went and he did that through the end zone, and the Patriots just smoked him. The next day or two, Rex Ryan buried the game ball, and it was a big deal. And the Patriots finally lost that game in 2010 in the playoffs to the Jets. I believe it was 28-21, but Bill Belichick wins Coach of the Year. The defense is looked back on poorly, but I mean, they lost 28-21. It was a disastrous game, one of the worst losses of most of our, you know, you're a little bit younger than me, but for you personally, I'm sure it's up there as far as worst losses for the Patriots. And overall, I don't like the idea of Belichick calling the defensive plays, not because he's not great, not because he's not the greatest coach ever, not because the Patriots can't win the Super Bowl in 2019, but because Bill Belichick himself would tell you that the one con to winning the Super Bowl is you are now a month behind everybody else. And you can't tell me that and then tell me that the last 2 months with Greg Schiano, building game plans, building, you know, you would know the word. You're really – I know for a fact, Bryson, that you're very much into the things that Flores did and how he designed game plans for certain teams and how the defensive coordinator in New England has a lot of power, more power than you yourself said, more power than you ever even realized. So you can't tell me those things and then say that the last 2 months didn't matter and that this is a non-factor. Because they do matter, because Bill Belichick himself would tell you that the past 2 months since they won the Super Bowl have mattered.
I think so, too. Yeah. It definitely hurts a little bit, but I think the one positive you kind of have to take of Schiano is maybe he gives you some tips for drafting, which is why I want him on the staff the entire time, is because his familiarity with the college game. So you get that possibly. You at least get Gerard Mayo in there. He's going to be a great coach, a great linebackers coach. He's going to be great for the team. He's coaching Mini Mayo, which is Bentley. That's going to be at least good. The team's behind, but I just think that this defense on paper is probably better than last year. Trey Flowers leaves, but you got Mike Pinnell coming in from the Jets, defensive tackle, like similar to Danny Shelton. He just doesn't look like he's been at the buffet all day. Let's just say that.
He's a great player. It's better than Brown too.
Yeah, for sure. I think they've upgraded there at that defensive tackle run stopping position. Then you have Michael Bennett, who's Trey Flowers is definitely a better run stopper, no doubt about it. You have Michael Bennett, who's comparable or better in pass rushing. Probably he might be a little bit better. And then you have Bentley coming back. And then you have J-Mac coming back along with the draft, the other guys. I think on paper, this defensive roster is a little bit better. So I'm not too worried about the defense, but it would make me, I don't really like Brett Bielema that much, but I don't know. I wouldn't mind him being the defensive coordinator. I wouldn't mind Belichick being defensive coordinator. I guess I wouldn't really mind it. Honestly, would you care if Gerard Mayo was the defensive coordinator? I know he's not going to be, but I wouldn't give a shit. I wouldn't think about it twice. He's a linebacker. It sounds like he's been calling. He calls all sorts of plays when he was playing. I don't know, man. I don't know. I think it's going to be okay.
I'll put it to you this way, okay? And this is just the way that my brain works. Do I feel like Gerard Mayo is ready? No. But do I feel like they hired him for no reason? Also, no. The Patriots probably knew about Schiano stepping down for a few days, and they prepared, you know, the statement. They prepared how they'll handle the whole situation. They brought Gerard Mayo on for a reason. I also believe that. Do I believe that he'll be defense coordinator? I mean, personally, no. But am I ruling it out? I'm also not ruling it out. I know that people these days, they want hot takes and they want you to just give a black and white statement and they want you to just give it to them straight. I'm not sure how they pursue this, honestly. I'm not sure. Steve Belichick becoming a defensive coordinator, I would love, and I'm not even a Steve Belichick fan. I guess I'm in love with the name Belichick. Where like the thought of him moving up so quickly, and the thought of him becoming a coordinator, and then maybe one day being the Patriots head coach. I'm in love with that idea. But can I sit here and tell you I wanted to be the defense coordinator? No, I can't. I also can't tell you that I'm against Gerard Mayo, if that makes sense. I'm not necessarily for him, but am I against him? No, because I believe that Bill knows what he's doing. He does a great job of finding people that understand what's going on. Also, historically, in the Patriots defense, linebackers coach is, it's almost like the de facto assistant defensive coordinator. We saw that. I want to say Flores. I could be wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong on Flores. I believe he was. Pepper Johnson for a long time, who was upset when he didn't get the promotion to defensive coordinator. He went to Buffalo. But they've had that position in the past where it has held a significant role within the Patriots defense. And I do have worries right now that they wasted 2 months, but you know, I can't sit here and give you a solid take on that situation right now. How do you feel about it? I mean, I know you're not a big Steve. Personally, how do you see how this goes? I'm a big fan of your takes. I think a lot of Patriots Twitter is, how do you feel like this goes?
I think it's a little weird that Brett Bielema would tell people that he was going to be the Patriots defensive coordinator, but that was a month ago or 2 months ago. I don't know. There might be some smoke there. I have no idea. I just don't see Belichick coaching the defense. Like, it just, as that would be my preferred thing. I would rather Bill Belichick coach the defense, because of course McDaniels and Brady, they've got the offense totally down. Thanks. And Belichick is smart enough to, and he's done it before, he's not going to be Sean McVay on defense to where he's not paying attention to the offense. And, you know, it's one of those tough things. Like, that's what we were talking about the other day. I'm a big fan of delegating responsibility, and Belichick is too, obviously. He gives Josh a lot of power. He gives Brian Flores a lot of power. The special teams coaches have a lot of power. But he can coach all three aspects because he's watching the game. It's tough when you're the defensive coordinator because you've got to talk to the guys and tell them stuff. You know, the offense is on the field. But I'd feel comfortable in this instance because you've got Josh, Brady, that safety net. I'd be okay with Belichick, but I'm thinking Bielema's the move.
Okay. Here's the thing. You said something the other day that I thought was just such a great take. We talked about it. We discussed the the stuff, obviously, with delegating responsibility. Actually, I'm going to go back a couple months ago. I was asking a group of us. I was saying, how much did Flores have to do with the Super Bowl game plan? Because it was obviously a masterpiece. They held the number 11 offense all time. 3 points, which is just unreal, especially today. That's just, it doesn't happen. And you told me, and you told a few other people, you said, well, look, in New England, Belichick gives the defensive coordinator, and you went back to the Patricia days. And I know you're not a big Patricia guy. None of us are, I think, for the most part. And you said, look, he doesn't just call all the – It's a big, big responsibility for the defensive coordinator to draw up the plays and come up with a game plan, and they do that on their own. So I take that very seriously.
I think I have a good comparison for this, LB. It would be like if your teacher or your boss said, hey, look, I want this to happen. Like, in order to accomplish our goals, we need to do X, Y, and Z. And I'm not going to tell you how to do that, but here you go. We need to do this, this, and this. And then Brian Flores says, okay, well, here's the matchups. I like this guy, this corner on here. I like this guy and this guy. And it's just kind of like, you're supposed to do X, Y, and Z, but it's up to you how to get to X, Y, and Z.
I actually kind of love that. As you were saying, I'm sitting here like, wow, that makes like almost too much sense. It's, look, I don't think I'm not going to sit here and tell you anything like a hot take, like the Patriots are screwed or, you know, any of that stuff. But I have some worries, of course, I do, you know, because I want them to win their seventh Super Bowl, you know. And when it comes to New England, a lot of there's a certain group of people that will tell you, you know, well, they went 12-4 and went to the AFC Championship game, or they went this and this and they won a playoff game. And, you know, that's really not the goal in New England. So we're kind of spoiled absolutely 100% as Patriots fans to the point where we don't want them to go, you know, 11-5 and lose the AFC Championship game, or 12-4 and lose the divisional round game. We want them to win a Super Bowl. So that's kind of how we view things naturally. And I think that the situation with defensive coordinator is very complicated. I'm a little bit more basic than you in ways, whereas I view things a little bit more, and you're more of like, I always look at you as like the X's and O's guy. I'll even ask you, like before the Super Bowl, I asked you like, you know, what do you see here that could be exploited, you know, and all that. And most of it was actually very much true. You're actually a very bright guy when it comes to that. Some of these things, are they worrisome? Yes. Are they a death blow? Absolutely not. You know, Bill Belichick is the greatest. He's the greatest coach, in my opinion. He's the greatest coach in the history of all sports. I've always said this, and I would actually, real quickly, if I could get your take on this, and then we'll go back. If Bill Belichick coached, say, college basketball, would he be the greatest college basketball coach ever?
I don't know. I'm sure Belichick could do a lot of stuff where he's just like super good at it and understanding. Like earlier, I was listening to someone talk about Belichick, and people were clowning what's his name, Kingsbury, for having the cell phone breaks. And Belichick has actually done extensive research on like stuff like this. Like, should we be giving millennials cell phone breaks? How do we deal with millennials? I know Lombardi talked about it. Like, how should we? They brought in guys specifically to come in and tell them, how do we bridge the gap between us and millennials? How do we deal with them? How do we talk with them? What do they respond to? And like, he just does a whole lot of stuff like this that's like super bright. So I'm sure Belichick would succeed in a lot of places.
Go on in 1 second, but this is exactly what I wanted to ask you. So every once in a while, I have like random questions for you, and you always have an answer like that. Like, you don't find that incredibly impressive that he does that? That's like amazing to me.
Yeah, it definitely is. Like, people, the funny thing is that honestly, for me, I wanted to like be like, why is this dude giving guys cell phone breaks? This is ridiculous. But then it kind of actually makes sense. And it's probably something that the Patriots might do, but they just probably don't call them cell phone breaks.
Did you see the tweet from, who was it? He actually said a lot of teams do this. Because I asked the question, I said, this seems bizarre, but does anybody know if this is unusual? And somebody actually linked me to, Ross Tucker. Is that his name, Ross Tucker?
Yeah.
He's a verified, you know. He said, no, it's not unusual. He said that a lot of teams do this. And to me, I feel like Belichick is the type of person where if you put him on a softball team in high school, he would coach that team to a championship because he is so freaking weird that he would find a way to connect with these people, and he would find a way to coach these people, and his brain just retains knowledge. You know, some people are like that. I feel like Belichick's one of those people. I've always said, like, I feel like he could be the greatest basketball coach in history if he chose basketball. So maybe I didn't word that great earlier, but let's say he didn't choose, you know, football. He chose basketball. I feel like he'd be the greatest basketball coach ever. You're a coach, so I feel like I could probably stick you in. I don't even know if you like baseball, but you're a good basketball coach. You're a good football coach. I feel like I could just put you on a baseball field and you'd know how to coach a baseball team.
I feel like I wouldn't. I feel like I would have to do something.
Wait, like,
what are you guys doing with those damn? Shouldn't we be putting weights on the side of those sticks? We should be coaching those things.
It might not be as funny to everybody else, but that was funniest. I'm like, don't you feel like you'd be good? And you're like, no. I feel like I wouldn't. Oh my god, that was classic.
LB, speaking of Speaking about this, another thing that we absolutely love about Belichick is people on Twitter, and it's there is a certain section of Twitter, and I don't know if you guys know it, but they're the weapons with a Z Twitter. They always make fun of people like me, Alonzo, and OB for wanting good players on the Patriots, which is absolutely wild to them. But Belichick has been sniffing his way around. He's been sniffing around. And from Breer said that Belichick has been – Belichick and the Patriots, I should say, has been sniffing around Thielen, Mohamed Sanu. I think Sterling Shepard was another guy in the season, Golden Tate. Last season, Golden Tate, Demaryius Thomas. Some other guys, Jared Cook they were in on, Adam Humphries they're in on. The Patriots are actively trying to get better weapons, which, you know what, I don't care. Their weapons stink. And sure, they might win a Super Bowl with stinky weapons. That is also because they have a great offensive line full of the most handsome left tackle in the NFL, and that's Isaiah Wynn. And they have Tom Brady and Dante. They have Skarnecchia, and who makes offensive line great. So it's not like we're going to say they're going to lose the Super Bowl because they don't have this guy. But if they want to make the team better, I mean, Thielen's a cheap option. Sanu's a cheap option. All these guys are relatively cheap options that Belichick has been sniffing around for. So maybe he doesn't agree with your weapons takes there, that side of Patriots Twitter. And maybe Belichick sees it as, yeah, we could win a Super Bowl with this team, but I think we probably should really try to get better at this position, which is what they're doing.
Okay, I have a couple questions for you. How happy was – forget the word happy. Scratch – let me X it out on my X. Forget happy. How impressed or satisfied or just overall just stunned was Belichick when they won the Super Bowl?
I don't know. I'm sure he was after the entire season, after all the Josh Gordon stuff, the first month was just absolutely wild. There was ups, there was downs. I mean, the Pittsburgh game, they kind of stumbled in a little bit of spots where they wouldn't stumble when they were, you know, they were hitting their stride in 14, 15, of course in 16, 17, hitting their stride. And they kind of stumbled a little bit at the end of the season last year, which was just a little bit different. So yeah, this title is probably a little bit different to Belichick. It's not shocking they won, but it's definitely different. It's if you look at the totality of the season, it could have gone so many ways. Like, let's say Josh Gordon never got on the team. I don't know what happens to the Patriots if Josh Gordon doesn't play. Like, they went 11-5. They might have dropped a game or two. Maybe they don't get home field advantage. Maybe they, you know, another team does and they lose. Like, so many little things happen in the season for them to win. Like, even Josh Gordon coming on and off, like I just said, it's kind of saved the season. Then he left, and I remember how sad we were about Josh Gordon leaving because, of course, the first month with Dorsett and Chris Hogan, wide receiver two, who's absolutely a train wreck. By the way, Chris Hogan's available, everyone, if you want to sign him. I heard the 25 teams were interested per the media. I don't know what's going on with that. So yeah, I'm sure you're right about that, LB. He's probably like, wow, that was a wild season. I can't believe he won the Super Bowl.
You see, you know, you finished so strong right there with that very last sentence. I can't believe he won the Super Bowl. That's how it seemed, didn't it? I mean, usually these types of Patriot seasons don't finish in a Super Bowl win. They're and very unpredictable team, but at the same time, they're also very predictable, if we're being honest. I mean, they usually have flaws that cost them in the end, and they usually have things. Yeah, you know, I'm probably explaining myself horribly, but like you said, he almost seemed like this was his most, you know, like, I can't believe we won the Super Bowl. And I can't think of one word to describe that better than, I can't believe we won the Super Bowl. That's how Bill seemed the whole time. And so the offseason comes, and, you know, they lose some guys. And I'm supposed to sit here and pretend like Belichick is happy with this wide receiver crew. Bryson, tell me real quick, how did Chris Hogan make out in the Super Bowl?
Oh boy, as Alonzo would say, good grief, this man, Chris Hogan. You know what? We should just go off on Chris Hogan because, you know, Chris Hogan, you know, he was a big hit in New England before the season. Everyone loved Chris Hogan. I remember I called him crazy ass. This might just be a Patriots fan problem because we always seem to shit on these guys as they go out the door. And I try to not do it, but it's kind of hard when Chris Hogan is moping on the sideline with the defense, complaining about his targets, and then consequently goes 0-6 in the Super Bowl with an interception. Granted, it was Tom Brady's fault.
It was.
But
yeah.
Chris Hogan, who was guarding Chris Hogan? Marcus Peters, Burnt Toast himself. Chris Hogan. He was in Chris Hogan's pocket all game long. Chris Hogan could not get open for shit. He sucked.
He had no chance. Marcus Peters just took his fucking lunch. You know.
That was awful. That was good grief.
Man, back to the, you know, originally I believe we were talking about the weapons, and I think that's a big, 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 big part of why Belichick was so happy and so impressed that they won the Super Bowl was, you know, they didn't have great weapons. They changed their identity late in the year, and they decided that we're going to go, you know, ground and pound, which, come on, man. You're lucky that when you won Super Bowl. If you win two Super Bowls with ground and pound and Sony has 2,000 yards next year, I swear to God, man, I'll tweet, dude, I was so wrong. I'll come on the podcast. I'll say I was so, so wrong. It's just unrealistic. You know, I mean, Tom Brady's your quarterback. He's going to be 42 years old. You want to surround him with weapons. And these weapons right now are absolute garbage. They were bad before Gronk retired. And
yes. Also, Abate, we might gloss over this. Guess who played more in the Super Bowl, Chris Hogan or Philip Dorsett?
Off the top of my head, I'm going to guess. Fuck, this is a tough question because I know how we've been.
Chris Hogan. The team thought Chris Hogan was better than Phil Dorsett. And Phil Dorsett comes back at a cheap deal. And now it's Edelman, Dorsett, Maurice Harris. Like.
Well, quickly, let me just. Let me lob you a bone real quick. I'm a big fan of Maurice Harris because a couple of weeks ago, maybe even a month ago, you told us if you remember correctly, I actually, you know, now that I think about it, we both worked together on Harris, except it was more you. I just kind of like, you know, just threw the bone out there. I said I dropped a list of the certain guys available, and you said the Pats are big on Maurice Harris and. You're absolutely right, dude. You nailed that one. I feel like I've been trying to give you credit on that one for a while now because there's a certain group of people that want to kind of like act like, you know, some people don't know what they're talking about when it comes to available players. But Maurice Harris was absolutely available. The Patriots wanted him, in my opinion. And, you know, I actually kind of like his game, man. I won't get too much into Maurice Harris's game because I don't think people give a shit about Maurice Harris and his game, but I actually kind of like the kid. I do.
Yeah. He's, you know, he's definitely not going to wow you, but a lot of Patriots fans, like, well, like the weapons side of Patriots Twitter was telling me 2 days ago that Philip Dorsett was, in quotations, good.
Good.
Okay,
yep.
Okay, guys. Okay. His first year in the league, he caught 44% of his passes. The second year, 55. It's gotten better every year. But last year, with Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time, 194 yards. This season, doesn't crack 300 yards. And that's with Chris Hogan. You can't beat out Chris Hogan. You can't beat out Chris Hogan. Do we remember how bad the first month was with Phil Dorsett as wide receiver two and Chris Hogan as wide receiver? I remember that, and it wasn't good. It wasn't good at
no,
all.
No, it was bad. I mean, they traded for a crackhead, man. I mean, we all love Josh Gordon. He's awesome, and he's a great guy. And I mean, they traded for a guy that hasn't played in 16 games, I don't believe, in his whole career. I mean, if we're going to pretend now like they traded for Mr. Reliable, give me a break, okay? And the whole thing with Philip Dorsett, okay? I'm going to speak for maybe 90% of Pats fans. I think that we all like Philip Dorsett. I started calling him Big Dick Dorsett I also gave him the name Philly D and Philly Big D and all these things. But come on, let's be realistic. All right, Philip Dorsett is not Jerry Rice. He's not a great player. I get so frustrated by it, man.
There's actually a tweet. You could probably search it right now. Everyone can find it. I actually said last year that I believe that Philip Dorsett could have, I want to say I said 75 or 70% of the production Brandon Cooks had. And yeah, I was wrong. And I believed in Philip Dorsett, and good grief, I was wrong.
You know, to be fair, the team did seem very infatuated with Hogan over Dorsett. I'm not exactly sure why, because if we're being honest, it felt like Dorsett was a more productive target than Hogan last year. Hogan was terrible. Fucking horrible. I mean, I like Dorsett. Dorsett has certain qualities to him that look very nice, but I feel like he's very predictable, and the team knows that. Like, when Dorsett's on the field, it's only for one reason, you know, or if you're throwing a Dorsett, it's because it's a screen, or it's a... I mean, look, the Patriots aren't stupid. So people sit there and say, well, Brady didn't target Hogan a lot. It's like, well, Tom Brady is also the smartest quarterback ever. So maybe he didn't target Hogan a lot for a reason. And then he targeted him 6 times in the Super Bowl, and he was 0-for-6. I mean, what a fucking joke. Hogan sucks.
He's terrible. He's terrible. So, you know what? They could absolutely, you know, I don't think the Vikings want to trade Adam Thielen. I would probably assume they don't, considering he's on a pretty good deal. His cap hit's like $8 million this year. But they just paid Diggs, and they've already paid Cousins. He's got 2 years left on his deal. For Christ's sakes, the team just traded Odell Beckham for a first, 1 and a 3. So if the Patriots did come at him with like a 1 and a 3 or 1 and a 4, weapons Twitter could be happening. No, they could flip him in a year for another first, and the compensation would be essentially a third, or if you leave, you know, it's a third round pick or whatever, the third round pick you spend, you know, but you could also extend him. I mean, he's 28. I don't know. I think that's a good idea. I also like Mohamed Sanu a whole lot. I don't know what it would take to get Mohamed Sanu. Sterling Shepard, I just don't see. I don't see the Giants really flipping another wide receiver, seeing as how their fans want to absolutely take down their owner as it is for training Odell. But I think these are all realistic options. I mean, look, it would be unrealistic if we came on here and we were like, yeah, you know what? The Patriots need to trade for DeAndre Hopkins. Just trade for him.
I was trying to think of a bigger name than DeAndre available. The only one I could come back to was Odell, and all of a sudden it doesn't sound that ridiculous.
Yeah, they
actually got traded to the Browns. It's fucking crazy.
It would be unrealistic of us if Julio Jones signs his extension and makes whatever money is here, and then to come on here and say, yeah, they should just trade for Julio. That'd be so smart. No, we're not saying that. We don't want to pay a wide receiver crazy money. I know both of us don't, but yeah, they could absolutely make a trade. There's still a lot of ways for them to get better. They want to get better. Draft's coming up. There's just no real deadline for. There's no real deadline. I think that's kind of the big thing here. You know, at the trade deadline, teams are kind of pushed to make deals and get that stuff done. But right now, you know, Belichick's flopping his titties around. So
he is. Who cares? He's flopping around, man. He's on the boat.
He's owning. He's owning.
He's an owner. He's owning. My owner gets tug jobs.
Ooh, yeah, he does. He's a good.
Yes, he does. I love that guy. He's the greatest thing ever.
Is there an
but our head coach? He just flops his titties around. We love that too.
It kind Man, of thinks, what, do you have any other players in mind available? Maybe
for wide receivers.
Maybe tight end, like Jordan Reed's one that we've talked about.
We've talked about Jordan Reed a ton. Everybody seems to hate that, which I don't get, man. Why do they hate on Jordan Reed so much?
I don't know, but the thing you have to know about the Redskins is the Redskins, I'm going to assume that they have absolute shit facilities, absolute shit team doctors. They're the Redskins. Their owner doesn't give a shit. He just let Kirk Cousins walk out the door and sign freaking Alex Smith. Like,
great point.
Not a very smart guy. Patriots, good medical staff. He could be drinking on Tom Brady's concussion water and, you know, all that stuff.
I'm soft.
His kill shakes, thank and Alex Guerrero could rub his hands over his forehead, and or you know what? Here's the other thing that could happen. They could just lie about his concussions. That's what the Patriots
exactly.
do, right?
That's what that's the do. Key.
Lie about it.
Fuck actually taking care of it. Just lie about it. I mean, honestly, what kind of team in 2019 is telling the truth about concussions? You know, you got to be so stupid. Look, I mean, I know I say that all the time, but, you know, when it comes to things like that, I love Jordan Reed. Shit, I wouldn't mind a guy like Jimmy Graham because it's actually something that Sammy touched on earlier, and I think B-Cast there was upset about. But if the Patriots, if it comes down to it, to draft them a tight end, and maybe it's not a great blocker, we all saw the Dwayne Allen experience. You know, are you trying to do that again? Let me just tell you right now, I don't love the Patriots wide receiver situation. I'm a big fan of Julian Edelman. I even actually, mainly because of you, and you haven't even, I've seen you maybe say fucking like four words about Harris. For some reason, I've convinced myself that I kind of like him because you told us months ago that, or maybe a month ago, whatever, that the Patriots actually like him, and it's kind of made me like him. But come on, man. I'm not huge on Dorsett. Nothing against Dorsett. He's a good player, whatever. But these guys weren't great before Gronk retired. I mean, we were shitting on the Patriots wide receivers before Gronk retired. All of a sudden, Gronk retires, and we're going to sit here and be like, no. Look, you have to be an idiot. Belichick's an idiot. Why would Belichick be trying to acquire a good wide receiver? Personally, I would love Adam Thielen. I would love A.J. Green, who news has come out today that they're trying to extend him, but I don't know if they're having much luck because of his age and injuries. They're not having a ton of luck extending A.J. Green right now. But look, the Patriots need to make a move. Patriots fans that think that Tom Brady at 42 will be the same at 41 or even the same at 40, whatever. I don't even care anymore, you know? Tom Brady at 42, you cannot rely on to be the same guy. And I don't care. Bill Belichick is better than anybody at knowing when a player is about to expire. He's the best ever at understanding a player's age and understanding what they're capable of and what they're not capable of. I don't believe for a second that he is sitting there thinking, you know, Tom can cover up all these flaws anymore. I don't believe it. I think Belichick knows for a fact that they have some flaws at wide receiver and tight end, and he's trying to fix those flaws. And anybody that thinks otherwise is a fucking idiot.
Boom. Get owned, everyone. Get freaking owned. That's what I have to say about that. I think the last thing we're going to talk about here is a very sad situation. That's Trent Brown leaving. It's very sad because my dear, dear friend Trent Brown, my brother, the one I love the most, he doesn't know I exist, but I love him. He's got all of his money. He posted a picture today of his titties out. I don't think this is going to go well for Trent Brown. I wish him the best of luck, but you know, I just feel like bad things are going to happen in Oakland. It sucks. But now we can stand our new left tackle, Isaiah Wynn. We're on to Isaiah Wynn season. We're just going to pour one out for Trent Brown, and we're just going to love Isaiah Wynn to death for the next four years.
I'll let you say it because you are the Trent Brown enthusiast of the group. So you read a couple quotes earlier. We talked about the story from earlier in the year. We discussed it, how Skarnecchia had a few things to say about Trent, and nothing against Trent. We love Trent. The things that he said about Patriots fans leaving, amazing guy, great guy. I think he's a fun-loving guy. He's like a big-ass teddy bear. How do you think, and tell you what, before you answer, because you are the Trent Brown stan of all of us, I don't think that's a good deal for the Raiders. I think it's great for Trent, and I'm happy for him, but I'll ask you truthfully, based on things that we've read, things that we have now seen, you know, his titties, how do we feel about that contract right now for Trent Brown from the Raiders?
Highest paid offensive tackle ever, I'm pretty sure, probably offensive lineman too. You know what? I love Trent Brown. I've said it all year. He's a super talented guy, obviously. I mean, look at the guy. His tits are hanging out. He's never worked out a day in his life. He doesn't give a shit at all.
Peter might quote him soon.
Yeah, he has all the tools. He's just a lovable teddy bear. Now he's got his money. You know, you give a lazy guy his money. I don't know, man. I've seen this story before. Jamie Collins, and that guy was actually probably a workout warrior. I'd guess Jamie Collins was, if just by looking at him. And Trent Brown isn't. He's not gonna have scar. It sucks. He's gonna get beat on, and Patriots fans are probably gonna shit on him. I'm not gonna shit on him. It sucks.
They probably will.
Trent Brown sucks. Like, you know, he left and he actually made a video for the Patriots thanking Scar and thanking Bill. He called Tom the GOAT. So you should not be shitting on Trent Brown. Just understand, the big fella had to get his money, and we had Isaiah Wynn. So
you know what?
There's no hard feelings, but he might stink.
Bryson, next year, please share that again, because, you know, I feel like you have a big influence. You're absolutely right. He said all the right things. He doesn't deserve to be shit on. I think that
shit on Chris Hogan. He sat with the defense. Don't shit on Trent Brown, who called Tom Brady the GOAT, Scar the GOAT, and thanked Patriots fans and loved every second. You know what? He actually did something else that people are going to forget about. There was a little video of they asked Trent Brown, like, I don't know if they asked him if it was fun, and he talked about how fun it was and how great the locker room was and how much fun he was having.
His titties were out in that video. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead. But you're right. Go ahead.
Yep, totally. He's just a Patriot here. He's a lovable guy. Don't shit on him, please.
Yeah, don't shit on him. Bryson, I totally agree. You know, certain guys leave, and Dion Lewis. You remember we talked about this the first time I ever parted with you, dude. What did I say? I said how certain guys leave, and they do it respectfully, and they do it, and you just can't shit on them. And Dion Lewis is not one of those guys. Dion Lewis is the anti-Trent Brown. Fuck Dion Lewis. Love Trent Brown.
Exactly. Shit on Dion Lewis all day long. We haven't shit on him in a while. We might as well just go on Twitter after this and shit on him again.
You want?
Yeah, I kind of want to. I might just go shit on him a little bit. You know, put that 56. I mean, what a clown that guy. You've been in New England for how many years? 3 years? 2 years?
And what a douchebag.
You realize the importance of regular season games, and then you get on Twitter and post a 50-cent GIF, and like you think it's okay to say this is what happens when you go cheap? Yeah, they just won a Super Bowl.
I own this team, the Patriots. I own them.
It's not like he even did anything in that game. He did virtually nothing. Marcus Mariota was just dotting our asses up like I've never. You know, I think Marcus Mariota was actually God for those 30 to 60 minutes he was playing. Because he was absolutely dotting our asses up, and there was nothing we could do about it.
That's, like, really bad.
He's dotting us. It was so stupid. I remember
that's
actually,
bad.
You can pull the pause of Alonzo and I. We're like, oh, my God, the Titans. We're not worried about the Titans. They suck. They're terrible. And then Marcus Mariota's like, yeah, you watch this, Bryson, NFL, you stupid, cowardly motherfucker. Here it comes. Going to complete 80% of my passes, and I'm going to dot up the greatest corner to ever walk this fucking green earth. And that's Stephon Gilmore. He was eating his shit, dude.
That was pretty bad. That whole game was that was actually the first week I ever came on a podcast with you, man. I had so much fun. We talked about, I'll never forget, my favorite moment of that, and I feel like it was underrated, was we started talking about when OBJ got, he was doing drugs on cam. I started telling you about how he wanted his buddy to fuck the prostitute in front of him. He was going to jerk off. What a freak. Probably a good thing he didn't come. What a fucking weirdo.
Good grief.
I love how you've turned into come on, man. Why can't Charlie Brown?
No.
You know where that comes from, right? Charlie Brown.
Yeah, Alonzo says good grief, and it's the funniest
Where did Alonzo get it from? He got it from Charlie Brown, right?
Yeah, probably. I'd say so. Yeah, the funny thing is, so last night, I frequently have, like, just weird dreams. So last night I wake up, I had a dream, and it was so real, dude. Like, I even checked my phone to see what was going on. I had a dream that Travis Kelce was like saying our podcast sucked. He was like,
What a
man,
douchebag.
Bryson, your podcast sucks. And I woke up and I was like, fuck, man. How did Kels get a hold of I have never talked sh- I don't think I've ever talked shit about Kels on the pod. And I wanted to be like, dude, Kels, bro, what's up, man? Come on. Let's hash this out. Wild stuff.
I'm a little bit upset because I feel like, what did he say about you? Did he say it about you and LB or you and Alonzo?
No, it was just mostly me. Like he was at a locker and he was like, man, you guys tell that Bryson guy he fucking sucks. Something like that.
You know, I get upset for you, dude, because I feel like you allow it. Like people just like talk shit to you and they're only joking. I don't know how you do it, buddy. I feel like I'd get so upset. I'd be like, fuck you, douchebag. How dare you? I don't know. You're good at it, man. Oh, man. Well, you know what? Fuck that guy. What a douchebag.
Yeah, Kels. I know you actually didn't say it, but just the thought of you actually saying it makes me actually hate it now.
Fuck that guy. I hate him.
Screw that guy. Yeah. If I ever see him in the gym, oh, boy, we'll be gym rivals. Just kidding. He's like 50 pounds, 60 pounds, 70 pounds, whatever he is, heavier than me.
Is he really a big guy?
I'm sure he is. You know what? Like a lot of people don't like get around NFL players. I'm sure like not a whole lot of people see him like really close, but whenever the Patriots come to the Greenbrier a lot and I get to see him a lot, and man, like looking at JJ Watt, like I can't even tell you how big that, like he's a fucking house. Like it's stupid. It's dumb how big he, like I've been around pretty big guys. Like even Brian Cushing, you remember him?
Yeah, of course. He got juice
busted.
Head.
Yeah, he got busted for juice that year. He walked right up to me. And I was like, good God, this fucking guy.
You actually met him?
Well, yeah, I mean, he was signing autographs for people, and I was just happened to be there. But, like, Chris, I mean, even Chris Hogan, like, you look at Chris Hogan on TV, and you're like, man, that's, you know, he's kind of a slender wide receiver. And he's a pretty big guy, I'm here to tell you. It makes the average guy look, you know, pretty small. He's a pretty
big, I met,
pretty big guy.
Ty Law and Lawyer Malloy when I was about 9 or 10 years old. I was at Emerald Square Mall, and I met those guys, and I can tell you straight up, they are huge. They were, like, huge. We were, like, stunned at how big a cornerback and a safety could be. But, dude, they're, like, huge human beings. They're jacked as fuck, and they make us look like idiots, honestly. Like, the shit that media members talk about them, like, nobody would ever say to their faces. It's just one of those things. I'm telling you right now. We would all be, like, too scared. We'd all be, you know, like, oh, my God, Ty, you look fucking great, dude. But, like, in person, be like, actually, no, I got it all backwards. And on the phone, to be like, look, you blew a couple coverages last week. You got, you know, you looked like a complete moron. You have no clue what's going on.
It's like, yeah, that picture in person. It's that picture of DK Metcalf or whatever that dude's name was Sean Oakman, when it was like Oakman meme where
captain of the team. I know exactly what you're talking about right now.
Yeah.
He's standing there, you know, awaiting the coin toss and the memes.
It's heads. It's their ball. It's ours. Okay, you got it, Sean.
Anything you want, Sean. I know exactly what you're talking about, too. It doesn't even seem like it was that. You know, his whole life got ruined by false rape accusations, and that sucks. That sucks, man. I feel so bad for Sean Oakman. His life got wrecked.
Might as well sign him.
Patriots should sign him.
He could probably play tight end.
When he gets arrested for murder, we can just be like, well, look. I mean, he had a past.
Oh, man. Patriots and scandals. Never happened.
Never happens. Patriots, never heard of one.
They just fucking
name happen. One Patriots scandal for me. I dare you.
You can't name one.
You can't name a single one.
Anything else we miss, LB? Anything we want to talk about from the Twitter.com sphere?
I probably did forget stuff, but
I don't think.
I mean, for the most part,
I don't think forgot stuff.
For the most part, the Patriots wide receivers are actually great. If you want better wide receivers, you're a complete fucking idiot, moron. I'm trying to not say words that are too offensive, but, you know, you're just a complete idiot. Imagine wanting better wide receivers on a team that won Super Bowl. Oh, okay, quick note. The Patriots actually, you know better than me. The Patriots won the Super Bowl with a special teams that was, like, ranked beneath the top 20 for the first time since 2000-something. They actually pay their special teams the most in the NFL, not including Gostkowski, whatever the hell that idiot, stupid idiot will get. So why are they paying special teamers? Why are they trying to acquire wide receivers? Bill Belichick should be fired. Hashtags BB out.
You're absolutely right, LB. I got the perfect tweet for this. I've been a Patriots fan since Jesus Christ walked on water, and I have never seen a group of skilled players and defensive coaches as sorry as this one. TMZ darling Belichick would rather play lacrosse and sign Lacoste than give Brady any real help. Enough is enough. When is enough enough? Word to young Boston Scott. Hashtag BBL.
Oh my God. That was amazing.
BBL.
I don't even know what to say. That was incredible.
BBL. Belichick, he's just showing his titties everywhere and talking to TMZ. He thinks it's a joke. You know what he's doing? This is what Belichick's doing, okay? He knows Brady's about to be big wash because he's giving him Matt Lacoste at tight end and Philip Dorsett as wide receiver 2 and Matt Slater as wide receiver 4 so he can tank and sign 2 of the next year and look like a genius when he wins the Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback. That's what he's doing. He's tarnishing Brady's legacy. I'm here to tell you.
You know, I'm trying not to flip out right now. Oh, my God.
I'm literally shaking right now.
Like, I'm shaking too.
I was reading the depth chart earlier, and I was like, I was holding back. I was fighting back tears, literally.
I'm shaking. Either that's the alcoholism in me, or I just am that mad at Belichick. It's more likely that I'm just, you know, an alcoholic, but I'm really mad. I'm shaking.
I am literally fuming right now. And also, I want everyone to know that Tom Brady's win percentage versus the NFC, 76. AFC, 77. Weep.
Yeah, I said that to somebody earlier and they didn't like it. People do not want to hear that the AFC or NFC is remotely capable.
You know, the funny part is, even funnier part, other than the Brady's absolutely absurd record against every division virtually, Brady's worst record versus division is in AFC West, and it's 65%, which is just absolutely insane. That 65% is an insane record as it is.
Probably all Broncos, too.
Yep, yep. And so in the last 15 years, the AFC has a winning record over the NFC, and the AFC is 12-7 in Super Bowls against the NFC as well in the last 19 years. So I don't know, guys. You might want to give it up because you're trying to tell me that the Dallas Cowboys could dethrone the Patriots if Tom Brady was in the NFC, and I just don't see that happening. Like the Rams have been good for 2 years, maybe. The Lions have been perennially suck. The Packers division sucks. They've been with the Bears, who've sucked. You know, they sucked for so long. Jay Cutler was quarterback. Even before that, they kind of sucked. They had a great
Nash disagrees.
Yeah, they sucked. And who else? The Vikings? The Vikings have sucked as well. You know, every division has this dysfunction, and it's I mean, just imagine if you're the Jets, Bills, and Dolphins, and every single year you probably have a bunch of timely L's to the Patriots. And what do? The Patriots have a three division lead in October. Like, what are you supposed to do?
It gets so annoying because everybody will, like you just said, you know, those teams, they have the dysfunctions and they have their issues. In other divisions, you have those dysfunctions, you have those issues, but you find ways to. It's not the Patriots. It's so fucking annoying. I can't even explain it great, but those teams have to play the Patriots all the time. The Packers played the Patriots this year without. You had a great tweet about this, by the way. Their number one running back was a wide receiver. The number one wide receiver was a college quarterback. You know better than I do. I'll let you say it after I'm done because, you know, but come on. The Patriots just find ways to win versus teams But yet we're supposed to blame on the AFC East, even though the AFC East actually has the highest win percentage since 2001, minus division winners, than any other division. It just gets so old, so annoying. Just say the Patriots are great. Stop crying. Thank Stop crying
you.
Like a fucking pussy.
Tom Brady, this is what you got to know. Tom Brady throws and wins to college quarterbacks and wide receivers and tight ends even can become running backs and Tom Brady because Tom Brady's so great. So Tom Brady throws to college quarterbacks and makes them find Super Bowl MVPs. Aaron Rodgers throws the balls out of bounds.
Yeah, all the time.
Literally all the time. And I will quote Packers fans that saying 50 is the minimum that they're expecting of throwaways this year. So, you know, that's also the funny thing about other fans of other teams. We do this every year. Patriots suck in March. Patriots suck. You know, like Packers fans will probably be like, are actually already saying, you know, the Packers are going to be good this year. Like, they're tough. Like, this guy's good and this guy's good. This team's good. They're going to have
the
a good
AFC
draft.
East is trash.
Yeah, they're trash. And then November rolls around. It's like, man, get Rodgers some fucking help, man. Please help him.
Why does Brady have such an easy go of it? Like, as if Brady didn't just beat your fucking ass with a running back who never played running back before and a wide receiver who was a quarterback. And there was more holes in that Gronk didn't play. I mean, give me a break. Just gets old, man. Gets so old. So many excuses. It just gets so old, man. I don't even know. I just wish people would understand common sense. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, LB. It's very hard to understand. Fortunately, we understand. This has been a long pod, and I love every second of it because the people are going to love it, and the people are going to listen because there's not 1 second that's boring, so they can weep.
I had a blast. I always love talking to you, buddy. That was great talk. Always fun.
We're going to upload it. Pray for no lag because if you've listened to the end, you definitely care enough. We've probably recorded Alonzo LB probably 5 to 6 podcasts, but Anchor is just being a, you know what, the pods are laggy. You guys have probably heard the last couple ones. They're a little bit laggy as well. It sucks, but now we're on Skype. It should work. And if Anchor makes it laggy, I'll post it somewhere else. I'll post it on YouTube or I'll post it somewhere. We'll get it out.
Thank you, sir. I mean, it's always fun talking to you, man. It was great talk. Overall, the Patriots have some things going on right now. I wouldn't sit here and tell you that any of them are great because nothing feels great. Michael Bennett was a great addition, but you know what? Overall, we're Patriots fans, so, I mean, what could possibly be better than being a Patriots fan?
Definitely not being a Celtics fan.
You motherfucker. All right. I mean, you might as well just... I don't even know how to respond. I don't think I should say anything. I'm a Celtics fan, for the record. I love Celtics, but I just...
It's just one of those... It's one of those friendly dings because we like the Celtics too, but sometimes other people ruin things for you.
They do.
Let's just leave it at
Come
that.
Come on. I mean... And then there's... people defending it, and it makes me sick.
Oh,
ban that fucker for life. The Celtics didn't make matters much better. You know, they gave him a 2-year ban. That'll show him. The guy that threw beer in Tyreek's, I wish somebody would throw beer in my fucking face. You know, I'd give him a 2-second suspension. But the guy that threw beer in the woman beater's face, he got 2 years. I'm sorry. I fucked that up. He got a lifetime ban.
Oh, wow.
But yeah,
so,
apparently you can...
Wow. So the Celtics are so progressive and so smart, and Brad Stevens is so great, but they couldn't figure out how to suspend this fan for life?
Think about it. I mean, the guy that threw beer in Tyreek Hill's face, the woman beater, he got a lifetime ban. The guy that called Draymond Green, I believe, the N-word, which is the ugliest, nastiest, hideous word that, in my opinion, it's the worst word that exists. It's just a hideous word. You know, he got a 2-year ban. Come on, that's just pathetic.
Oh,
I wish somebody would throw a bear in my face, dude. I'm sure you feel the same.
Yeah, actually, I heard this guy was. They figured out who the guy was, and he was actually Mike Loico.
Oh my God.
He couldn't figure out. He's suspended from Twitter, so he couldn't figure out how to drop his zip bombs and tell French people he fucking hated him somewhere, so he went somewhere else.
I probably had to cover up most of my laughter. You're a fucking maniac. Mike
Loico. I wonder what that guy.
You're probably right. It probably was Mike Loico.
That guy probably. That guy.
Your tweet earlier. I came here. Oh my God. I hate you, man.
You know what? The funny thing is. Back in October, I made this meme.
And oh my gosh!
Someone made this meme, and it's of Mario and Luigi are sitting there, and it's Bowser, and he's heading up to talk to Peach.
Oh, I saw it earlier, buddy.
Someone edited it to make it say, "I came here to say the N word," and I actually changed Bowser to Mike Loico and Peach on Twitter. So.
It's oh my God.
Man, come on, Mike. Mike probably, you know what? He might listen to this podcast. I don't know what he does now, but
I don't think he has much going on. I'm pretty sure he was a school teacher before this.
He's talking Mike Lincoln songs like this. He's probably sitting somewhere like, man, this fucker's from Patch Chat. I'm gonna kill
him. Get him.
I'm gonna get him.
How dare they expose me?
This man is crazy enough to say that he wants a French athlete hung, right?
Wait, he said that?
Yeah, right. He said I want so and so to be lynched in South Boston tonight. Like,
oh, okay. I thought you said that he claimed that he could say it because he was a French athlete. Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay.
He's most certainly not an athlete, Mike Loico, this guy.
I'm a Frenchman, okay? My last name is French. The shit he said, does it offend me? I mean, yeah, actually, you know what? Yeah, it does offend me. Fuck it.
Oh my God, like I don't know who found those tweets, but we started retweeting them, and he was like, I just woke up, what happened? And then there was the Mike Loico defenders like, come on, this could be a cover up. Someone could be doing this to Mike. Like, anyone actually gives a fuck enough to just be like, yeah, you know what
that
I'm
going
to do
That was an amazing
tonight?
Night.
You know what I'm going to do tonight? I'm going to pretend to be Mike Loico. I'm going to fuck his world up.
I stand with Gronky.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, OB. All right.
Oh, yeah, Bryson, buddy. I love you.
I love you, buddy. Thanks for coming on the pod. Thanks for listening, everyone. And Isaiah Wynn is the GOAT.
Kiss me, Isaiah Wynn. You're my only hope.
We love it.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.